ideas of the Constitution.
About Ron Paul, and that was from Leading the Cause of Freedom in Iowa. This is Sherry Edwards, this is BBS Radio, and this is the Sound Health Show. We've been broadcasting now for a little over a year, and during that time we've tried to bring you information and ideas that support the concept of self-health and self-responsibility in your life. Today is a really important show, probably one of the most important ones we've ever done. For many of you regular listeners, you know that we've already broadcast several shows surrounding the presidency. You know, I tried to say potential presidency there, it didn't work. The presidency of Ron Paul and about his message of personal and national freedom. What started all of this for Sound Health and the Sound Health Show is that we did vocal profiles for all of the presidential hopefuls. And Ron Paul stood out so far above the rest in terms of consistency and integrity, no matter what the issue, that I started to really take a look at this, because normal people, and even really good people, don't have this kind of consistency in their voice. And all the 20-some years I've been working on this, I have never seen this happen. So I was really impressed with this man. The old listeners know this, so bear with me for a minute, but for your new listeners, we take a sample of your voice, your vocal frequency, and we evaluate it for emotional expression and intent. We can also look at things like muscles and nutrition and genes and that kind of thing. But we look at it in terms of the frequencies you're speaking and the little micro tremors in the voice. There's been hundreds of articles about this. Our work has appeared in a myriad of books, including the Duke University of Alternative Medicine, and even Pfizer Pharmaceuticals has followed in our footsteps when they published an article on using vocal frequencies to predict Parkinson's disease before any symptoms manifest. And today we're going to be talking to Stephen Vincent, and a little later on to Ralph Huston-Toll, his attorney. But Stephen is the organizer of the North Hollywood Ron Paul Meetup and the host of the radio show The Freedom Message. He's with us. His show is carried on BBS, and he has a great internet. I just went through part of it today. And it serves as an incredible voice and message for Ron Paul. Welcome, Steve Vincent.
Well, thank you so very much for having me on the show, Sherry. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for being with us. Your support and organization of Ron Paul's message is appreciated by all of us who value our freedom. First big question, what was the impetus behind you creating this show and the website for the Freedom Message?
Well, I had previously been a digital media artist working with a variety of forms of digital media, video and audio, and I became excited by the Ron Paul freedom message when I learned about his candidacy. I had actually followed him somewhat, not intensively, but somewhat because of his writings on monetary and economic policy, which is just something that had always interested me. And when he announced his candidacy, I began to check out deeper what he was saying, and then I realized that this was it. You know, you might think about it that the country's been sort of waiting for something, you know, a certain it to happen, and this is it. The Ron Paul candidacy for the White House is that thing that we have been waiting for. And upon recognizing that, I immediately became involved and started a Ron Paul meetup in my neighborhood. And from there, I realized that I have talents that I could bring to bear, technical and other skills. And formerly, I was an actor as well here in Los Angeles. So I had a variety of talents that I thought I could bring to bear, and it seemed like having a radio program dedicated to the campaign would be something that I could contribute. So I decided to go ahead and do that. And actually, since then, it's become not only a radio program, but also a live internet television news broadcast as of last week. So you can also watch the show as well as listen to it.
It's just growing in leaps and bounds right along with the campaign. It's wonderful. We're going to be taking emails at radio@vocalprofiling.com. So most of our listeners like to email their questions in. And we're also going to be taking phone calls. That's 877-876-5227. That's toll-free in the U.S. And Canada toll-free is 888-815-9756. And there's a direct line. 530-876-3222. And if you forget those or you didn't get a pencil quick enough, just go to BBS, Boy Boy Sam, BBSradio.com. And right on the front page are these numbers. We're on station one. What message do you want people to get from your website and your TV news broadcast, your internet news broadcast?
Well, you know, it is called the freedom message, and of course the question is, well, what does that mean? Well, basically, Ron Paul is trying to teach us that we really need to believe in the founding principles of the nation. We really need to believe and stand on the idea that freedom brings prosperity and well-being and justice, and we really need to believe in ourselves and look to our individual ability to carry forward with our lives, and rather than looking to the government for the solution to all of our problems. I think that that's what the freedom message means. In a nutshell, I think what we're saying in the Ron Paul campaign is that we no longer have constitutional government. Our government is no longer a government of laws. It is rather a government of men. We no longer have rules that apply. Well, the rules exist, but they're routinely ignored. And as I say frequently on my show, if you don't have rules, then you're going to have rulers. You're going to have somebody who makes up the rules to suit themselves, unless if you do not have a rule of law to govern society and manage the government. And the government was established not to attain more powers for itself and to preserve itself. The government was established among men to create freedom for the people. And the Constitution was established to limit the power of government, not to restrict the people. And these are the things that Ron Paul is reminding us of, and bringing us back to, because we have departed from these basic essentials of what it means to be free and what it means to be an American.
Wow, great message. The little clip that we heard at the beginning, everybody clapping and yelling and Ron Paul and the Ron Paul song, that was all done at a rally in Iowa that was not even organized by the Ron Paul organization, but was organized by the people. That is so different from what we usually know of political candidates. This is a whole new ball game.
Absolutely. The paradigm is shifting. American politics has already been changed irrevocably and forever by the Ron Paul movement. It's a political campaign, no question about that. It's a campaign for elected office, but it's also a movement at the same time. And as you indicated, most of what happens because people spontaneously take up the freedom message that Ron Paul is bringing to us, and they take it out there on their own and bring it to the people. There are just numerous, endless examples of this. Ron Paul himself frequently says, you know, that, you know, he says, thank you for, you know, bringing the revolution to me, you know. He indicates frequently that he understands that this is a force of the people that is coming forward. You know, he has sort of tapped into something that has been latent and something that has been bubbling under the surface of the American people for quite some time, and it's really pouring forth out of the hearts, truly out of the hearts of the people. There's something that's very fascinating along these lines that you'll want to know about. Tomorrow is November 5th, and a group of people decided that on November 5th they would call for everyone who supports Ron Paul to donate $100 to the Ron Paul campaign. They had a goal of 100,000 people donating $100, which would be $10 million on a single day. And it's not going to be likely to be close to $10 million, but we are somewhere in the vicinity of 20,000 people having pledged to do so. And there may be many other people that will donate who just simply haven't gone online to make the pledge. So we're expecting that tomorrow, in a single day, people all across the country and maybe indeed all across the world will be donating sums of $100 or more to the Ron Paul campaign, and we're expecting a boost of somewhere between $2 and $2.5 million in a single day, something which is completely, totally unprecedented in American politics.
Where do people go to donate?
They would go to ronpaul2008.com, ronpaul2008.com, and there's a donate button. Just click that, and anytime after midnight, just start donating. And we are hoping that the phenomenon of this, of literally tens of thousands of people donating simultaneously on a single day, will not only help Ron Paul raise the money that he needs to run the campaign that he needs to run, but it'll also draw the attention of the news media and make this people's movement undeniable, because they're doing their darndest to pretend we don't exist. They're doing their darndest to pretend that this just isn't happening. You know, I listen every morning to National Public Radio. I prefer to refer to it as National Propaganda Radio, NPR. And I wake up to it, and most mornings they'll have some kind of a roundup of the American presidential race. Frequently they'll pick one party or the other, or sometimes it'll just be a general roundup. They will invariably not mention the Ron Paul campaign. They even had a roundup on campaign financing, and the real news of the last quarter was the fact that Ron Paul raised $5.1 million in that quarter, totally unexpected by anybody who was clueless about what's really going on. Totally unexpected. It wasn't unexpected by me, but he raised quite a significant amount of money in that quarter, and for a few days that was really big news. Well, you know, National Public Radio, in their roundup of campaign financing, just simply did not even mention the Ron Paul campaign. Basically, if you're going to be an actual journalist, you know, an actual journalist like reporting actual news, there would be no way that you could possibly avoid talking about the Ron Paul campaign and the Ron Paul revolution, which is what it's being referred to frequently, if you were actually doing your job as a journalist.
Don't you love the Internet and BBS Radio, and we're getting this out?
Absolutely. Well, we have the opportunity to, you know, be the journalists now. If they're not going to do their job, we're just going to have to do it for them. Isn't that right, Sherry?
Absolutely. I'm going to be part of this. I went out and made myself register, and I'd never registered in the primary before, but I went out and did it.
Good for you.
In all my 60 years on the planet.
Good for you. I hope you'll join us in donating $100 to Ron Paul tomorrow in that
I hope
day.
Everybody listening and anybody associated with this show does it. I would just like to see these people taken to task. I am so tired of watered-down promises and platitudes and lies and lack of integrity and George Bush.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I've met Ron Paul twice in person, and certainly, you know, when you watch him on video or you listen to him in a speech, you get an impression of someone who has integrity, who's someone who's speaking their mind in an honest way. And most people get that impression upon hearing him or seeing him. But when you meet him in person, it's really quite, you know, you really get that even more. You really get that here's someone who's here for you and who's here for the people of the country, and not here for any special interest or his own interest in any way, shape, or form. And that in and of itself is so rare that if we fail to stand up for such a man when he is standing up for us, we have no one to blame but ourselves for what we get in return. You know, it's often said that a people gets the government that they deserve. And we will get the government that we deserve if we fail Ron Paul. If we fail this historical moment that has presented itself to you, I believe divinely given to us, this opportunity to actually take our country back from the thieves, the criminals, the, just degenerate.
Degenerate's a good word.
Yeah, I'm struggling here. You know what? I don't want to go too far, but, you know, I mean, from the people that truly, truly have, you know, no belief in anything other than power and money and more power and more money, that's pretty much where we're at today. And we can do this. We have an actual opportunity. All it takes is us standing up with Ron Paul. All it takes is everyone hearing this tomorrow donating $100 or more to the Ron Paul campaign. All it takes is everyone hearing this going to ronpaul.meetup.com, ronpaul.meetup.com, and joining your local Ron Paul meetup. And not just joining it, getting involved in it. Walking door to door with your brothers and sisters and knocking on doors and telling more people about Ron Paul. You know, if we all actually do these things, instead of saying, oh, it's a good idea, or thinking about it, if we actually do it, there is no way they can stop us from taking this country back and electing Ron Paul president.
And I want to go, yahoo!
Mm-hmm.
You know, it usually takes a big catastrophe or some kind of choice or hope on the other side, you know, which way people change. And he's given us that hope and that change. I have something I want to play just to show people so they can hear how bad this really is. And then I want to talk to you about Naomi Wolf that you had on your show. But this is from C-SPAN, Washington Journal, and it's a newscaster, and then Jerome Corsi comes on.
May the 10th, the Washington Post thought that this was important enough to put only on page 13, or I think page 12. And they're not alarmed by it. That Bush changes continuity plan, administration not DHS, would run shadow government by Spencer Sue. President Bush issued a formal national security directive yesterday ordering agencies to prepare contingency plans for a surprise decapitating attack on the federal government and assigned responsibility for coordinating such plans to the White House. The prospect of a nuclear bomb being detonated in Washington without warning, whether smuggled in by terrorists or foreign governments, has been cited by many security analysts as a rising concern since September 11, 2001 attack. Why? And the rest of the media haven't addressed this, don't seem to care about it. Why are you so upset and they're not?
Well, I think Brian, you just hit on reasons why C-SPAN is watched by an increasing number of people. I know that at World Net Daily, where I've been writing as an investigative reporter now for several years, we're getting 8 or 9 million viewers, distinct viewers every month, 50, 60 million page views a month. The reason is that the mainstream media does not seem to be covering issues which are of deep concern to the American people. The idea that the president could redefine a national emergency to be completely within his own authority is fairly frightening. I mean, we have the a National Emergency Act, which is already passed. It's U.S. Code, Title 50, Chapter 34, Subchapter 2, Section 1621, and it requires that the president, in declaring a national emergency, come immediately to Congress and publish the declaration in the Federal Register. This new National Security and Homeland Security Directive, National Security Directive 51 and Homeland Security Directive 20, have no requirement to go to Congress and say nothing about how this directive complies with or supersedes the National Emergency Act requirements to notify Congress. Seems to me it supersedes it, and that's particularly frightening because you've got the ability of the executive. Our founding fathers were well aware of what the ancient Romans used to do. If they wanted to define these kinds of emergency powers into the Constitution, they could have done it. We just got rid of, at that point, King George III in England, and the founding fathers wanted to balance, in a limited constitutional republic, the power of the executive. I don't think the American people are ready for King George W. Bush to undertake these kinds of authorities without some very thorough discussion in the public debate.
Let me, before we grab a call, bring our audience up to date on your background. You were very much involved in the 2004 campaign. You were the co-author, I believe, with John O'Neill, of Unfit for Command. Am I right so far?
Yes, that's correct. I co-authored that with John O'Neill and worked with the Swift Boat Vets to tell their story.
On the Wikipedia site under your name, they say that in January of 2005, you told the Boston Herald that you planned to bid for John Kerry's seat in Massachusetts in 2008, and then you stated also you would run for as a Republican or an independent. Is that still active?
My wife vetoed that. She did not want me moving up to Massachusetts to run against John Kerry. She thought it would be a losing effort in Massachusetts. Besides, she likes living in New Jersey. The Constitution Party right now is the National Veterans Coalition is trying to draft me to be their presidential candidate in 2008, and I'm considering it. I will not go to Massachusetts and run against John Kerry, but I am actively talking with the Constitution Party. And I've not been a Democrat or a Republican. I've never, to my knowledge, been registered with either party. I've certainly not been an active participant in either. I joined the Constitution Party, but that's my affiliation. I don't consider myself either a Republican or a Democrat.
We had a hard time finding somebody to talk about what you are talking about, from the other side, but John Fortier will join us by phone at the bottom of the hour. He's from Continuity of Government Commission, and we'll just get his take on it, but let's go to the phones. Where's home originally?
I was born and raised in Cleveland. It's nice to be back in Cleveland today.
Where's your home now?
My home now is in New Jersey. We live close to Morristown, New Jersey, north central Jersey, and I've lived there now going on to about 18 years.
I could comment on some of what we've already listened to.
Let me quit this. I had another cut of this earlier that went on to explain all of what he was saying. Go ahead, Stephen, and talk about it.
Sure. Well, that continuity of government issue and the kind of basically declaration of new powers to the presidency that Jerome Corsi is talking about there, that is really just one example of the executive branch becoming increasingly dictatorial. And the executive simply declaring new powers to itself. Now, I'm not talking about George Bush. I'm talking about the executive in general because this predates George Bush. It's simply gotten more acute during the Bush presidency since 9/11. because they have now the international war on terror and the threat of terrorism as an excuse for getting more power than they had previously. We cannot merely blame the presidency for this. We can also look at the Congress and say, why aren't you doing your job?
Yes.
You know, why are you sitting on your hands while all of this happens? Now, we do have Congressman Ron Paul in the House of Representatives, and he has tabled proposed a piece of legislation called the American Freedom Agenda Act. American Freedom Agenda Act. And this is to restore the Constitution's checks and balances and protections against government abuses as envisioned by the Founding Fathers. To restore the Constitution's checks and balances and protections against government abuses. The Act does a number of very important things. First, the findings are that unchecked power by any branch leads to oppressive transgressions on individual freedoms and ill-conceived government policies, and that the Founding Fathers enshrined checks and balances in the Constitution to protect against government abuses to derail ill-conceived domestic or foreign endeavors. And it also says checks and balances have withered since 9/11, and an alarming concentration of power has been accumulated in the presidency based on hyperinflated fears of international terrorism and a desire to permanently alter the equilibrium of power between the three branches of government.
One of the things that Corsi goes on to say under these powers that Bush has given himself is if he says there's an emergency, and that's not defined what it is, but he can take over all state, local, national government, all tribal government, all schools, all universities, all private businesses. And he can take over any and everything. That is just
exactly
spooky.
And that's why we need the American Freedom Agenda Act, because we need to be operating within the bounds of the Constitution. This is talking about checks and balances, which means the power of the Congress should be, if we were operating constitutionally, should be counterbalancing the power of the executive. Well, it's not. The Congress and the Supreme Court, I might add, while all of this is going on, is simply sitting on their hands and doing absolutely nothing. It's their job to say to the president, sir, the declaration that you just made is completely and totally unconstitutional. We're not going to permit you to do that. It needs to be taken to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court needs to say to the president, you are violating the Constitution. You need to step down from office, because we cannot have a president that violates the Constitution. You know, you took an oath of office to uphold, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, not to tear it to shreds, trample upon it, and abuse it in any way, shape, or form that seems fit to you.
What would best help? Do we need to write letters to our other congressmen to support this?
Yes, we do, absolutely.
Okay.
And that's a great point. Now, you can go to a couple of websites. You can go to AmericanFreedomCampaign.org. Let me double check that. I'm not sure if it's .org or .. let me see. American Freedom Campaign. I'll have that for you in a second. I believe it's AmericanFreedomCampaign.org.
Well, we can just put in American Freedom Campaign Google will probably bring it up.
American Freedom Campaign, or you can also go to American Freedom Agenda. And then those two websites, you can go there and send an email to all of your representatives in your district, your senators and your congressmen, to let them know. We're definitely going to be organizing a campaign to support this bill and get it on the national agenda and get it in front of people and get it in front of the media and make a really big deal out of this bill and make sure that it gets noticed and that it gets traction. And we do need people to support this, because this is concretely how we're going to reverse the state of affairs that we have right now, with the executive branch simply taking powers that it was not granted under the Constitution. Now, here's another example of the same trend. It just passed through the House. There is a bill called the Homegrown Terrorism and Violent Radicalization Prevention Act. This was actually proposed and championed by, not Republicans, Democrats. Jane Harman of California was one of the primary backers of this bill. And the Homegrown Terrorism and Violent Radicalization Prevention Act essentially begins to define certain forms of thought and certain belief systems as criminal. It talks about the methods and processes that can be utilized to prevent homegrown terrorism. It talks about the promotion of ideologically based violence and homegrown terrorism. It basically says that ideologically based violence and homegrown terrorism exists in the United States and poses a threat to homeland security. It simply states that the Internet has aided and facilitated ideologically based violence and homegrown terrorism in the United States by providing access to broad and constant streams of terrorist-related propaganda to United States citizens. So, under this bill, basically your show or my show could be interpreted as providing ideologically based, propaganda, terrorist-related propaganda to United States citizens.
There goes our freedom of speech.
Well, this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is a bill. Basically, it's a thought control bill. It talks about, defines homegrown terrorism, and it refers to the threatened use of force or violence by a group, individual, or organization. It talks about the process of adopting or promoting an extremist belief system. It talks about the threatened use of force or violence by a group or individual to promote the group or individual's political, religious, and social beliefs.
Is that posted on your site, Stephen?
I do not have it on my site, but if you do a search for the Homegrown Terrorism and Violent Radicalization Prevention Act, you'll find it. And now, the thing that's difficult about this is that somebody first hearing it might say, well, you know, if somebody's threatening, you know, force to do something, then, yeah, you know, I mean, you have to do something about that. And or if somebody, you know, is promoting an extremist belief system, well, that's wrong. You know, I mean, somebody should do something about that. But the thing is, you know, there is this thing about freedom of speech in this country. You know, it's part of the Constitution. And you also have freedom of thought. Now, under the Constitution, you can advocate anything. You know, you can advocate the overthrow of the United States government by violent means, if that's your belief. You can advocate. You can get together with other people and talk about it. You can, you know, talk about it all you want. You can think about it all you want. You can write papers. You can write books. You can give speeches. You can stand on a street corner with a bullhorn or whatever. What you can't do is actually do it, you know. Now, there's a big difference between doing something and thinking about doing something and doing it. Then we all know that we don't do, but 1% of all the things that we think about doing or the impulses that we have.
Stephen, I don't want us to run out of time. I want to talk to you a bit about Naomi Wolf, and then I want to talk to you to something that our people on this show are really interested in, health freedom, and we do have Ralph Fusitola on the line with us now.
Okay.
And he helped draft the proposal for Ron Paul. So talk to me a bit about Naomi Wolf. She's written a book, The End of America, and she talks on your show about this is a repeat of history and the same thing went on. She started giving us some of the things that we should watch for, but she got to the first one and then nothing. There was no more on the video.
If you watch the video afterwards, we did have problems recording it, and so a big chunk of the interview was actually not recorded, unfortunately. But she does have 10 steps of a process that she identifies, and I think that her points are completely legitimate. 10 things to look for that happens every time there's a, what she refers to as a fascist shift in a country, and they certainly seem to apply to America at this time. And I was very happy to have her. Now, in fact, American Freedom Campaign that I referred to before is one of her organizations. She's involved in that organization. Interesting thing is that that's a group that would be traditionally referred to as on the left side of things. And then the other organization that I referred to, American Freedom Agenda, is very conservative in the most traditional sense of conservative. And they have both come together to help Ron Paul propose this piece of legislation, the American Freedom Agenda Act. So it's very important, as Ron Paul says, the freedom message brings people together, and it's concretely doing that in this case. And she's very excited to be supporting Ron Paul's legislation, and excited to collaborate with us more and further as we look at opposing this other bill and supporting the American Freedom Agenda Act.
We've got some emails coming in to some really important questions here. One of the things Naomi said, and it's happening here, and we're seeing it all over, is one of the first steps is to invoke a threat so they have an excuse for a military takeover or a dictatorship. So that's exactly what's happening.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we see that pretty much everything that's being done at this time, the proposal of this brand new bill, the Homegrown Terrorism and Violent Radicalization Prevention Act, and more, it's all done under the rubric of keeping us safe from terrorism. That's definitely what's happening. And there's no doubt that there's some degree of terrorism that is certainly overstated. And, I don't think that living in fear and abandoning our freedoms for safety is going to get us anything other than misery and dictatorship.
Well, we have an audience here, and we have a question from one of the audience members. This is Marilyn, who's here at Sound Health for class. I'm concerned that Bush will cancel the elections by announcing a national emergency and martial law. How do you think the American people will respond to that tactic to keep Ron Paul out of the White House?
You know, someone said that to me today, and actually, that came up in conversation with a Ron Paul supporter today, and I don't believe that that's going to happen. I believe that it could happen, but my gut instinct is that it's not going to happen. I don't think that this is about making George Bush dictator for life. First of all, he just doesn't have the personal skills to be dictator for life. And I think that the elite is not Republican, it's not Democrat. It transcends political parties. And I believe that they've already telegraphed that their next choice is Hillary Clinton as president. And they intend to install her as president unless there is a sufficient force of the American people backing Ron Paul to prevent that. She will be the next president of the United States. Once they install her as president, I believe that is when we will see a significant increase in events that can lead to a kind of dictatorship in this country.
There's another excellent question here I've got to answer. This came from email. Does your group have any intention of doing their own exit polls? I love Ron Paul, but I'm afraid the other candidates are so afraid of him that another voting machine fiasco will take votes away. Let's vote for the one person who can take us back to the days of freedom and make sure our votes are counted.
Well, that's a very good question. As a matter of fact, at this very moment, there is a conference call taking place because tomorrow there will be a lawsuit served on the attorney generals and the state election commissions of all 50 states.
Okay, caller, just hold on a second. Okay, and let Stephen finish his sentence. Go ahead.
I'm on the wrong show.
And a clean elections lawsuit is going to be served in all 50 states tomorrow. This appears to be something of significance. They are going to be presenting this, and it is to get an injunction against the use of electronic voting machines and to establish that constitutionally we are guaranteed not only the vote, but the right to know that our vote is being counted, and that we cannot know that with electronic voting machines. And so the Clean Election lawsuit is there to actually to actually bring us back the vote. And I will have a representative from the Clean Elections lawsuit. I believe Bob Schultz, the We the People Foundation, will be joining me tomorrow. He's one of the main proponents behind the Clean Elections lawsuit. And I believe he will be on the show tomorrow to tell us more about that.
Talk about when your show is on, Stephen.
It's on from 3:30 to 4:30 Pacific time, 5:30 to 6:30 Central time, and 6:30 to 7:30 Eastern time. Sometimes we go a little bit over.
BBSradio.com.
BBSradio.com. But if you want to go to my website, it's RonPaulFreedomMessage.com. RonPaulFreedomMessage.com. You can listen or watch from there.
I think I heard our caller say he was on the wrong show. Is our caller still there?
Hello.
Well, Ralph, were you calling into BBS? Or are you still here?
No, I've been holding on. This is a very interesting conversation.
Okay, Ralph Fusatola is an attorney, and he has helped draft the health freedom bill that Ron Paul is sponsoring. Ralph, can you give us a rundown? We got about 10 minutes.
Okay, quickly. I actually know what I helped Ron Paul's campaign was some of the language on the health freedom plank that they adopted. Natural Solutions Foundation, globalhealthfreedom.org, sent a series of 19 questions to all the candidates and about health freedom. And Ron Paul responded very effectively. And his campaign has also adopted a health freedom plank. He originally had, I think, 6 planks. He may have 7 or 8 right now, but one of the most recent that he added to his website, RonPaul2008.com, is the one on health freedom, which he takes a very strong position for individual right to choose and health freedom. And we'd be very happy to work with him. In the meantime, he's submitted a bill in the House of Representatives, H.R. 2117, the Health Freedom Protection Act, which specifically tells the FDA to lay off health claims. And it does so in a very intelligent manner, which it changes the standard, or at least I should say it changes the standard. It makes the FDA understand clearly what the standard is for health claims, and that standard is some scientific, reliable and competent scientific evidence. The FDA wants to impose a standard of significant scientific agreement, and getting scientists to agree is very difficult. It costs, you know, the drug industry on an average of $900 million per drug to get significant scientific agreement, and then half the drugs they put out are withdrawn within a few years because they're so dangerous and have such harmful side effects. Foods, of course, dietary supplements, being foods, are not dangerous the way drugs are, the way industrial chemicals are, and don't need to be treated that way. So that's why that provision was put in. That bill was introduced earlier in the year. In the meantime, the FDA came through with a number of challenges to health freedom and to the natural remedy and dietary supplement industries. And so we've been working on a new bill in addition to the Health Freedom Protection Act, which Ron Paul already introduced. There is a draft Health Freedom Restoration Act, which would go beyond the Protection Act, which, as I said, protects health claims, and would also, with this Restoration Act, would go through a shopping list of 8 or 9 specific things the FDA has done and reverse them.
One of the things I like about it, he will expand the ability of Americans to use alternative medicine and new treatments.
Absolutely.
But you're saying they're trying to stifle us even getting a new treatment
out
there.
You know, that infamous CAM, CAM guidance the FDA issued back last December 26th, maybe for the first time in American history that a federal agency has actually worked the day after Christmas. On December 26th, FDA issued a guidance on what it calls complementary and alternative medicine. Well, it's not medicine. It's what we call complementary and alternative modalities, not medicine. But they issued a guidance. Didn't bother issuing a press release about the guidance. And then 2 months later, they finally got around to putting the proper legal announcement in the Federal Reserve, in the Federal Registry, a register about the guidance and about the comment period. And they didn't bother issuing a press release about that either. But we found it, and hundreds of thousands of people complained about this attempt by the FDA to secretly create a new category, CAM product, which would be regulated as a drug, a status. Up until now, the law has been that it's the intent that governs, and they would basically want to create this new status situation. You know, the guy in the FDA who wrote this guidance, without bothering to get any input from the alternative world first, said in one interview, he said, and I quote, "I am not Darth Vader." Now, end quote. That makes us just feel really good to know that FDA is not staffed by Darth Vader. I guess the vice president's office where he works.
So freedom's across the board. He wants freedom for the Internet. He wants this out
of... Oh, absolutely. Ron Paul has been very strong on all of the freedom issues. He's been in the forefront of defending the United States against all sorts of encroachments. And in a very real sense, he is this generation, Ronald Reagan or Barry Goldwater or Robert Taft,
he's the Thomas Jefferson for our time.
Republican past.
He's the Thomas Jefferson for our... What did you say, Stephen?
He's the Thomas Jefferson for our time. That's something that a lot of people are saying.
I think that's a fair thing to say. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I see it. We don't have a whole lot of time. One other question. Ralph, you need to come back and be on the show and talk to us about that whole health freedom and what we're losing. I think that's important to go over that, too.
To all of our abilities to make our own choices about our health care and about how we want to live, and just pure food. Just food that's not irradiated and not filled with genetically modified ingredients that we're not told about. All of that. And then Ron Paul has been very strong on all of those issues, all those freedom issues. So that's very good. You can go to ronpaul2008.com for that information, or you can go to globalhealthfreedom.org. Get on the e-list, the Natural Solutions e-list, and join in fighting. We've generated over 100,000 messages to Congress supporting Ron Paul's H.R. 2117, and we need a lot of people to get out there, join that e-list, and start clicking their mouse, become mouse warriors, for health freedom.
That's great.
We want people to do. And it's effective. It works. It makes changes.
Stephen.
Congress had to add in protective language to vitamins, the dietary supplements in its most recent FDA bill because of the outcry from the public.
Thank you, Ralph. Stephen, we have a question here I really would like answered. We only have like 2 or 3 minutes. I recently saw Ron Paul, and he was spectacular. Now that he and his message is getting more popular, do you see other candidates running after his ideas?
Well, actually, we have seen some of the other candidates trying to parrot in vague ways what Ron Paul is saying, and once that they recognize that he is striking a chord with the public. And it's basically not working, though, because, they can say anything they want, but the way they come off, and Jerry, as you know from your work, they read as phonies. So when they're trying to tell a truth, it's going to come off as phony and fake, and it's just not working. But you're right. We are shifting the debate. And now if you watch the mainstream news channels, you are starting to hear talk about the Federal Reserve, about sound money, about the illegal immigrant issue, about a lot of the main central issues that the Ron Paul campaign has put on the agenda, and especially, above all, the constitutionality of our current government.
As I was listening to some of the candidates today, I noticed that Fred Thompson is coming out with a very similar kind of, constitution and this and this. I did his vocal print today just to see what was going on, and there was something very surprising in there. We're going to post that on the BBS radio site. It's on the front page under Vocal Impressions. And if you look at Fred Thompson's and Ron Paul's, you'll see the similarities, but the great differences in what's going on there.
Absolutely. Well, Mr. Thompson's slogan for his campaign is Security, Unity, Prosperity. And he says that we are steeped in the tradition of honor and sacrifice for the greater good. We are proud of this heritage. I believe that Americans are once again ready to achieve this greater good, which is nothing less than the security, prosperity, and unity of our country. To me, that sounds like a slogan from a socialist or fascist country.
Well, if you listen to on your site and give your website again so they can listen to Naomi.
www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com, ronpaulfreedommessage.com.
Her lecture was hair-raising and comparing what's going on with Bush with Hitler and Stalin and Mussolini, and right down the list, check, 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 this is what's going on here, and we better wake up. Well, I can't say that. I think people have woken up and opened their eyes, and they're very happy to see Ron Paul.
You're right. They have woken up, but we have to get them in not only awake, but in motion. And that's the key thing. Now that you're awake, please get in motion. Pick up one foot and put it on the other and take in front of the other and take some steps for Ron Paul. Begin by giving $100 minimum to Ron Paul tomorrow to help us make history and help us get the attention that this campaign deserves, and then join your meetup in your local community, ronpaulmeetup.com, ronpaulmeetup.com. Enter your zip code and find the organization closest to you. Join it, and don't just join it. Get active. If we all do this, we can win. We can take this country back. We don't have to be complaining anymore. We can actually take proactive action and win this thing and restore our Constitution and our country.
That's a great thing. One of our emails is like that. Does it really make a difference? Aren't they all run by the same families and organizations? Well, they may be now, but with Ron Paul in there, it won't be that way very long.
Absolutely.
Like, taking back the country.
Absolutely.
And freedom and safety. I don't even feel safe anymore here.
We're not safe from our own government.
We are out of time, Stephen.
Thank
We're going to
so
have
much.
To have you back. There's emails are pouring in here about pesticides and all kinds of things that we need to talk about.
Mm.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to come back anytime.
We will certainly have you back.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I don't have any going away music, so we'll just talk to you later, guys.